everybody. Welcome to the final episode of Season 9 of the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast with me, Gary Fox. This is a special episode. In this episode, I recap the number one lesson I've taken from every single guest I've had on the pod on Season 9. So I think of these interviews as mentor sessions for me. So what I do is after the episode, I jot down the number one thing I take from each guest. And that is something I'd never used to do before when I was listening to other podcasts. I would consume passively. I'd be driving along or I'd be walking along and I'd be like, oh, that's a great lesson or that's a great nugget I must remember. And of course I don't, because our brains are for having ideas, not for storing them. So what I've started to do in my trusty notebook is that I write down the lesson from each entrepreneur, then I transfer that to Notion. So this is a distillation of the number one lessons I've taken from every single guest. So what I'd advise is, if you haven't listened already, you're about to get a sneak peek of 10 episodes. I would pick the ones that resonate with you and then go back and listen to the full episode. Quick shout out to my sponsor, Stage. They're with me for all of 2022. They're the number one provider of payroll, HR, and finance software to small and medium-sized enterprises, just like me and you, all across the globe. To find out more about Stage, click the link below. Now, first up, we had Declan Kennedy, the founder and CEO of Stitcher Ads. And Declan reminded me, what is your unfair advantage? So I've done interviews before and courses before where they've talked about this, your unfair advantage. You need to find out what your unfair advantage is and then leverage that in every single way. What are you uniquely qualified for? What do you have an inside knowledge of? And what are you better at than anybody else in your field? And then double down on it and keep doubling down on it. Declan and his team had tried multiple startups and hadn't got traction, but they had industry experience in certain areas. So what they did was, they're like, right, we have some knowledge, and we have some revenue. Let's go all in on this. Because sometimes you understate what you know. You understate the knowledge you have or the expertise you have, and you go off into a brand new sector and you're like, okay, I'm going to figure everything out. But sometimes it takes years to get the experience you need. So do an audit right now, and we all have one. It might be something random, but we all have one. So if you're trying to figure out a new business idea or you're already in business, look at your business and go, right, what are we unfairly advantaged in? What are we unbelievably good at? And then leverage that. Next, we had D Lines from Examfly. And D reminded me, don't try create the wave, ride it. And similar to Declan's point, don't struggle so hard. Don't be trying to create the new thing. You need to find what the wave is, get your surfboard, and get up and ride that wave, because creating a wave is damn hard. But there's already waves created by mega trends that you can just hop on and go, right, I'm going to secure 1% of this giant trend. So whatever that is, whether that's the remote working trend, Web3, crypto, whatever that is, don't be trying to create, don't be struggling. Because creating a startup is hard, right? It's going to be damn hard anyway. So the more work you give yourself, and sometimes we do that, we pick the hard option. We pick the really hard option because sometimes hard work feels good, right? And you want to feel, oh, this is original. And we have this quest, this burning desire inside us to be original. This has to be a brand new idea. I have to come up with something brand new. Here's the insider scoop, right? There is no brand new ideas. They're all tweaks of an existing idea. So don't try create the wave, ride it.
Like the way we take in information now on our phones, on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, whatever, is the quickest kind of, like sometimes quite a low resolution way of taking in that information. So our ability to sit down in front of like a big book, you know, dense technical text legislation, it has been affected. And It's not to say that what we do compromises on the technical learning that the students have to do, but we give them the information in a more digestible way, try to replicate some of the dopamine that they're getting from their phone, from social media, from the internet, and so on. And because we felt that most learning models kind of just denied that and said, here, just take your book and sit down and stop complaining.
Next week, John Mitchell from All Human. And John struck me with a really good theory on remote work, because that is going to be here to stay. And I think we've underestimated how quickly this has come in and how we haven't been ready for it. You need to think about, rethink your entire remote work strategy. So John had a super insight. So he doesn't want to see people coming to the office and doing what they could do at home. So if you're going to come into the office, sit there on your laptop all day, headphones in, disengaged with the people that are around you, you may as well stay at home. So if you're coming to the office, have people-to-people interaction. So come to the office for meetings, client presentations, group work, creativity sessions, things that require interaction with other humans. Be smart about your remote working. Don't apply a 9-to-5 mentality to this. Don't do what we've done for centuries and go, yeah, come in at 5 or come in at 9, leave at 5. That'll be grand. Be productive in between and not really think about what you're actually doing there. So I think the days of 9-to-5s and 5-day weeks are gone, bust, over. Forget about it. But it will take a huge adoption to get used to this, because this is something that was forced upon us by COVID, and it's something we are not used to, especially bigger companies. They're going to struggle. Your company is going to struggle. It's going to be hard. So cut yourself a little slack, but do think a little bit deeper. Don't just say, oh, it's going to be 3 and 2. Why? Why is it going to be 3 and 2? What are people going to be in the office on those 2 days? What are they going to be doing? Why are they here? How do you work? What's the layout of your office? Is it conducive to group work? Is it conducive to working in a creative way? What incentivizes people to come to the office? You got to think about that as well. People are incentivized to do things and then they do them. Surprise, surprise. If you're disincentivized to do something or attend something or go to something because you don't enjoy it, you're less likely to do it. And the key thing here is, employees are going to have choice. So you need to up your game to ensure you're keeping your employees, but also stimulating them and challenging them and giving them clear guidelines to work within. Next, we'd Alan Holland from Keelvar. And Alan reminded me something I keep needing to remind myself all the time. I am very much a solo wolf, solo fox, pun if you will. I work alone a lot, and it is a weakness and a flaw, because when you work with a team, you get so much more done. There's a famous phrase, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And that is unbelievably true. So I try and take these lessons, but then I try also apply them, because there's no point taking lessons if you're not going to actually apply them to your business, just storing them away in your lesson bank. So what I've done is I've tried to build a team now for this podcast. So in season 10, you should see noticeable changes about how this podcast is presented, how it looks, how it feels, the fact that you can now watch it in video, you can watch it on YouTube. It should be much, much better, because I've now got a team. I was doing everything. I had an editor for a very long time, Bren. He is superb, but I was very helter-skelter as to how I worked. I was a little bit disorganized, a lot disorganized, and then I knew I needed to do a video and I was dabbling and doing a bit. Now I've got a workflow, I've got another editor, and I've got a team. So think, if you're a solo entrepreneur like I am, think about, you don't have to get a co-founder. You don't have to go off and like hire people. That's the wrong message here. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about bringing people into the fold with you that can help you and just take a little bit of pressure off.
You need to be willing to have yourself held to account, and don't try to be too controlling of your business, except that as a business starts out, initially you might be the sole owner, but your ownership will be diluted down and down, and it's a good thing for it to be diluted down, because if any company is going to grow big, it needs input and it needs insights from more and more people, because it becomes a much larger and more complex organism, and you need good people around you to help lead that. And there's maybe too much of a cult around founders, and this belief that founders are sole visionaries who build companies. It's the leadership team that the founder hires are, you know, will influence the direction of the company even more so, and you've got to accept that.
Next, we had Chupi Sweetman, founder of Chupi. And Chupi told me this phrase, which I've only heard in the last couple of months: the board you can't afford. It's beautiful. And what that means is you gather together a group of experienced and wise people who can help you with your business, that are external to your business. So not your employees, not your co-founders. It can be from any industry. It can be from a mix, but they're external. And once a month, once a fortnight, or whenever, whatever the cadence you want, you go and meet with them, and you have full, frank, transparent conversations. We do this every month with the Entrepreneur Experiment community. So the first Thursday of every month, 7:30 a.m., we meet in Dublin City Centre. 8 to 10 entrepreneurs, we get together, and we solve problems. And it's as simple as that. We vary the format slightly, but mainly it's a problem-solving session. What one thing are you struggling with this month? Because you'd be frank with other entrepreneurs. They get it. They're on the journey. They understand the pain, the suffering, how hard it is. It's glamorized. We'll get to that later in a different lesson. But you need people that are on the same journey as you. Otherwise, it's lonely and it's tough. You need people of a similar mindset. Not the same. That's very different. They can't all be your buddies. They can't all tell you you're great. You're not there for a celebration session. You're there for a frank, honest, and at times difficult conversation. So think about who can serve that in your network. And you can always join ours if you want. This is not a plug. €99 for the year. We have a community that meets every single first Thursday of the month. And we sit down together in person, because I think that's important, in Dublin. 8 to 10 entrepreneurs, and we solve problems. But you can do this yourself. You can gather together a group of entrepreneurs in your town, in your city, and say, right, first Thursday or whatever, first Friday, first Monday of every month, we're going to meet and we're going to have a format. Very simple one is, what is one thing you're struggling with this month? We also do goal setting sessions, highly advise them. Start of every quarter or every month. Every quarter is better, as the cadence is better. You sit down and go, right, what three things are you working on this month? And then you have accountability. That is huge. But we've talked about that in a previous episode.
As an entrepreneur, it's the idea of getting out of your head and getting into a room with others. It's the boards you can't afford. Whatever way you phrase it, whether it's a round table or a board you can't afford, the idea of getting a regular meetup in your diary that happens once a month, that's half a day, and you go and meet people. It doesn't have to be the same industry, doesn't have to be the same age of business, doesn't have to be the same employee count, but it has to be the same level of ambition. A group of people who share your ambition and are interested in that road. And that has been game, that was life-changing for me. So it started with Going for Growth, and I have subsequently sat on and run a bunch of those boards you can't afford.
I only heard, it's so funny you said that, I only heard that phrase last month, and I was like, oh my God. That is just phenomenal, because someone was actually talking about the mastermind we were doing. They're like, oh, this is the board you can't afford. I was like, writing that one down. Next, we have Ken Cahill from Silver Cloud Health. And there's a great phrase that pops into my mind when Ken was talking. Don't talk about it, be about it. Don't talk about being an entrepreneur, go be one. Entrepreneurship has been glamorized, and Ken talked about this a lot. Entrepreneurship has been glamorized on TV, in the movies, as this great experience, as this like wild rock star lifestyle, when in essence, it's damn hard. It's tough. You don't earn a lot of money at the start. There's a lot of negativity that comes with it. It's the best job in the world. Don't get me wrong. I love being an entrepreneur. I'll always be one. But it's not quite the sugar canes and chocolate fountains that it's made out to be. So don't talk about it. Don't just add it to your LinkedIn or your Instagram account. Be about it. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, start something. Don't continually go around having meetings with people. Oh, I'm going to start when the time is right. Oh, I'm just, you know, I'm in alpha mode. I'm in stealth mode. Cut the nonsense. Get started. Get going. No one's going to steal your idea because ideas are worthless. Execution is everything.
I think entrepreneurship went through a whole thing a couple of years ago whereby, you know, you're in a coffee shop and I literally saw someone's business card down beside me and it said, title, entrepreneur. And I was like, what does that even mean? You know, or founder was someone's title. And I don't mean they were founder of a business. They were just a founder. Like the business was second or tertiary or not even mentioned. You're just like going, what are you at?
It's sexy. Glamour around it's the new being in a band, I think, for a sexy. While.
It was, certainly, which I think is not a sexy thing in doing it. And look, I'm not saying it's a hard knock life or anything like it, but it's not in any way, shape, or form sexy. I think it's persistence. I think it's stay in the boxing ring and just keep getting punched in the face for as long as you can do. And eventually the world will sort of will let you land one or two punches back. That's what it is to me.
Next, chatted to Zoe Desmond from Frollo. I mean, Zoe talked about, you don't know what you don't know. That famous quote. And what that means is, as an early stage entrepreneur, you really have no idea what you're doing. And you don't know what mistakes you're making because you don't know what you don't know. You need external people. This comes back to previous lessons. A lot of my lessons overlap because I try cluster my lessons. I try build on them. I don't just take one. I try cluster lessons on top of each other to deepen the learning. You need people around you who have gone down the path and you should try punch upwards. What that means is don't have your network of being all people that are the same as you. They're at the same journey. And that can kind of happen because number one, you feel comfortable with them. And number two, they're more accessible. They're all around you. You might do accelerators with them. You might go to startup events. You know, you might go out of college with them. It's kind of easy to fall into a friend group and you're all on the same journey, which has huge benefits too, don't get me wrong. But you also need to punch upwards and you need mentors and you need people who've already gone down the road, who've already figured all this out. Because a lot of what you're doing has been figured out before. We all think we're special little flowers. And we're so unique that our problems are just special and just to us. They're not. They're variations of a problem hundreds of entrepreneurs, thousands of entrepreneurs have had before. They're not unique problems. Don't treat them as such and don't isolate yourself. Go speak to experienced entrepreneurs and find out what the answers are. Don't sit there Googling. It'll drive you crazy. So you don't know what you don't know. Go find out from other entrepreneurs. Next, we call them lines from fire. And this chat left a huge mark on me in a positive way. And this is something I've applied to my life immediately after talking to Colm. And it is one line which you need to remember every single day of your life. Are you involved or are you responsible? Which is it? You can be both, but in the end, one person must be responsible. And is that you? Are you just on the team? Which is it? Think about that now. In every project, in everything you do, you should know, it should be written down on the headline of the project. Colm and his team have a slide at the start of every section of every team lead, who's involved and who's responsible. Because it's the old phrase, right? The buck has to stop somewhere. But we forget about that sometimes. In the world of collaboration, in the world of remote work, in the world of big teams, kind of bloated organizations, sometimes we don't know who's actually ultimately responsible for it. And you need to know that. Don't have everybody involved and no one responsible. You can have loads of people involved, but in the end, you need to know when it comes down to crunch day, when it comes down to D-Day, delivery day, go live day, product launch day, whatever that is, whose name is at the bottom of the sheet? Who is signing off on this? So are you involved or are you responsible? Next, we have David Jeffries from Action Point. And this follows on from what I just said. And David had a beautiful setup and a beautiful way of looking at to-dos and tasks. And this is something I've tried to instill in myself, but something I struggle with a lot. This is one of my biggest weaknesses, is I get overwhelmed and I get kind of drowned in tasks, especially as a solo entrepreneur. It can be very overwhelming and you need a way of dealing with all the little tiny tasks. So what I do now is I have an app on my phone called Todoist, and when something pops into my head, instead of it going around and around and around, like I talked about earlier, your brain is for having ideas, not storing them. Get it out of your head. I put it in Todoist, no matter what it is. Buy dental floss, send follow-up email, send a present, invite a guest, upload the video, whatever it is, put it in Todoist. And then I transfer it to Notion. Notion is where everything lives for me. Notion is like my personal database, CRM, project management software, whatever it is. And within Notion, I have a giant task list broken down by different sections. Business, family, house, creative, podcast, whatever it is, finances. And all the to-dos go in there. And then I mark them low, medium, urgent. And that keeps me on top of my three priorities. So every day I do three priorities, three priority tasks. And those three must tie into the tasks I'm working on for the year. I have three main tasks for the rest of the year. And the three things I must do every day have to tie into them. So I need to look at them every day. I write out my three goals for the end of the year, and my three tasks for that day must be tied to that. And David follows up with that in terms of he does a wash-up day on a Friday. He sets his own schedule, so he keeps Fridays free for tasks he didn't get done during the week or deep work he needs to get done. And I love that idea, a wash-up day.
Putting everything out there, everything doesn't get done, right? Let's be honest. I'm not a superhero. I don't get up at 5 in the morning and do crazy stuff. And I'm not at the desk for 7:30 in the morning and stuff. I think there's always things that are urgent and important. And it's about prioritizing the things you do. And I know I'll get to everything on my to-do list eventually. But it's like that rolling to-do list from a work perspective. And it may not get done in the time frame I'd like to get it done. But I know I'll get it done. And I don't beat myself up about that, because people can carry an awful lot of anxiety about their to-do list. So I'm looking at my whiteboard here, and I think I have about 25 things written up on it. And I've got 5 things that were circled from yesterday to get done yesterday, and I haven't got them done. But you know what? I've got my Fridays to fall back on. So I know that those things I didn't get done during the week, Friday they'll get washed up. So.
And finally, Rena Maycock from Kilter, be direct. Ask for what you want. Rena talks about better to get a quick no than a slow no. Don't drag it out. Irish people are awful at this, and I am culprit number one. I will not get to the point of what we're talking about. And I've tried to apply this from listening, from my chat with Rena, and from various other experiences I've had in the last 3 months, being direct. What are we talking about? Are you asking me for something? Am I asking you for something? What's the outcome? When's it due by? What are we doing? Because Irish people, we're awful at getting to the point. We will have a world of small talk, but without actually the direct ask. So Rena talks about ask for the no. Get straight to the point. Don't like go, okay, great. Well, thanks for having a chat with me. And then leave it there. Have a follow-up. Is it going to be a follow-up? What are the action points in this meeting? What are we going to follow up on? And get a quick no as opposed to a slow no. Don't drag out a conversation for 6 months, because that is dragging your focus away from what's important. You need to focus on, because again, getting deals done, being an entrepreneur, it's bloody hard. And if you're spreading your focus in all these different directions, it's going to drain you. And it's going to deplete your energy. I think of my energy every day like a computer game. So I have like 10 energy credits. And how I spend those 10 is vitally important. Because you don't have more time and you don't have more energy. Gets to a certain point in the day, you're gone. You're goosed. If you want to train, if you want to look after your family, if you want to have fun with your friends, and you want to work, there's only so many ways you can slice that orange. You have to pick what your priorities are. Better to be direct, get to the point straight away, and move on. I literally sent an email to someone 5 minutes before, and I said, hey, thanks for meeting me. I assume you're not going to go ahead with this project. I appreciate your time anyway. I wish you all the best for project blah, blah, blah. I'll close this thread now. And that was it. Move on. Instead of kind of wondering, going, oh, what is he going to come back about that? Now it's closed. It's not been direct. It's not been overly direct. It's not been blunt. But now it's closed off. And you know what? More importantly, it's closed off in my head. I'm not dragging that around going, oh, maybe. Oh, maybe. And if you're in sales, you know this feeling. You've got a sales pipeline and it's full of dead leads. It's like Glengarry Glen Ross. The leads are weak. You keep them in there hoping that someday phone will ring or the email will ping. Hey, Gary, we're ready to do the deal. Forget about it. Move on to the new deal. There's always more clients. There's always more deals. The world is big.
In truth, if I could talk to myself of 4 years ago, I would say, learn how to recognize a slow no when you see one. If an investor or a VC is asking you to come to 10 meetings, if they're calling you every other day, but there's no progress, if they're just looking for you to connect them with high-powered people that are in your network, if you seem to be making no progress with them, you know, it's just conversation after conversation after conversation, recognize that as a slow no and walk away and save your time, because it's never going to be a yes. Investors know really, really quickly if they are going to back you. In my experience, they get you very quickly. They buy into you, the person, and your team, and they get your concept.
On that note, I'm out. That is the final episode of season 9. Hope you enjoyed it. These recap episodes are mainly for me, so I can recap all the lessons I've learned from the season and hopefully share one or two of them with you that resonate. Go back and listen to any episode that you think that lesson will apply from. I will see you back here for the launch of season 10 with Mr. Frank McCourt, the billionaire, US investor, and philanthropist and sports team owner. It is a cracking episode. I will see you in the new season.